Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Now, more Touch on Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rajiv Talib, his second return for a touchdown this season.
Oh, we have a fight on the other side.
He took that gold chain and ripped it off his neck.
Oh, that's my dog.
Look at that.
An opening and everything. Aqib
we
Talib.
Do it big for Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib. The great defensive back. Many teams, previously the Patriots, brought to you by DN Van Lines. Aqib Talib joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Talib, it's a pleasure, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I like my little intro now. I enjoy that.
Were you bobbing your head while it was playing? We got some, trying to get something with a good beat here.
It was decent. It was decent, man. I could learn to love it.
All right, Rich, play him the song that you made when he was on the
Patriots. Oh, yeah. So Aqib, when you were here, you know, you have to understand, Aqib, when you showed up with the Patriots, Patriots locker room not known for one that had people who liked to talk. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, it was fairly buttoned up. And then you showed up and gave us some of the best press conference moments that we could have. So we made this little 30-second thing from one of your press conferences.
You got Tom Brady, go Bonds, he on my team. Hey, man. Go Bonds, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team. Hey, man, hey, that's fun. Hey, oh, that's my dog. Hey, 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 it's the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained, dog.
Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team. Hey, man, throw bombs, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team. Hey, man, hey, that's fun. Hey, oh, that's my dog. Hey, 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 it's the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained, dog.
It's fun, man. Just
keep me entertained all day.
And that's all it took, Aqib.
Hey, I think I heard that before. I remember that.
Oh! Just made Rich's day.
You were locked in to the show.
That was not my first time hearing that.
All right. Well, listen. Excellent. When you were in beautiful Rhode Island or wherever you lived when you were on the Patriots, you had a chance to listen to the show. Well, you could have been a Patriot, I understand, Mr. Talib. That was something that could have happened this season.
It was close. It could have happened.
Now, what was the deal? So apparently you were saying that you got a call from Bill in the offseason?
Yes. I got a call from a few teams, but, you know, the main one being Bill. And he wanted me to come play. I wanted to come play. But, you know, it's circumstances, your heart not really into it like that. You know, you're a step slower, 34 years old now. So it just didn't add up for me. I was just ready to move on.
That was a pretty decent paycheck, though, that they were throwing out at you from what you were saying, right? That's got to be tough to say no to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you played 12 years in the NFL and you took care of your money, then it wasn't really about the money, honestly. It was about, you know, going out how I want to go out. You know what I'm saying? That was the main reason why I wanted to play another year. I wanted to go out on my terms.
And what was that day like when you do face that fact that, you know what, my heart's just not in it anymore? Like, what is that moment like, and the first day that the NFL season starts up and you're not on the field?
It was okay. It was relieving, honestly, man. You know, because you want to play, you're still working out, and you got one foot in almost, or you're trying to keep one foot in. But, you know, once it's over, once it's done with, man, you kind of relax and, hell, you can enjoy all this money you made.
Now, so what is the post-retirement plan? I know that you have that you're involved in some media endeavors, including this one, which is the most major of all of them, the appearance on the Toucher and Rich Show weekly. But what are you doing? What is the plan for post-football?
Like you said, just a little media stuff, man. I got the Patriots pregame show on NBC Sports on Sunday. I'm on with y'all guys on Wednesdays. I got a podcast we do. We drop our shows on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's called Call to the Booth. Still in talks. My agent is still talking with some channels about calling some games as well. So we'll see, man.
Really? You're Tony Romo, right?
We'll see.
Are you a legend at Kansas because you're the only player that's ever come from Kansas, the University of Kansas?
Did you say it again?
Are you a legend at the University of Kansas as you are probably the only player of any
note
that I can think of at the top of my head that went to Kansas that had a lot of success?
Hey, definitely a legend. It's a few of us, man. We got Gail Sayre. We got Chris Harris Jr. You know, we got a couple over there, man. So Gilbert Brown, you know, we got a couple big names, but I'm definitely a legend over there.
Did you play with, like, the fat guy with the mustache over there?
Coach Mangino?
Yeah.
I definitely did. I'm telling y'all, that's one of my favorite coaches ever, man. That's a hell of a coach, man. He definitely can get that competitive edge. He can get it out of guys, man. And I think that's why he had Kansas Jayhawks in the Orange Bowl, because he had us way more competitive than we should have been.
Did he have any nicknames?
Big man.
I mean, because he's a large, but people don't know what we're talking about. He's a large man, but he has basically the face of an infant.
No, yeah, he looks like a baby with a mustache, like a fat baby with a mustache.
So we just called him Coach Man, Zeno, big man. That's about it.
Did you ever see any Herculean feats of eating with him?
Nah.
All right.
No challenges he undertook?
Never.
He wasn't like the Wing King of Kansas.
Akeem, there was an incident in the first week here with Cam Newton, and you know, obviously things have been clicking with him, and everyone loves him around here. He's really fitting well. But at the very end of the game, there was a player from Miami who came up and tried to snatch his chain. Now, if there's anybody that knows about the do's, don'ts, and the unwritten rules, Akeem, that is you. So what is it? Is it kind of walk us through, like, what it means to wear a chain on the field and what it means to snatch a chain on the field?
I don't know what got into these Dolphins players, man. I don't know where they got it from. I don't know what they got going, man. But, you know, it's some guys want to wear chains on the field. Some guys, you know, Deion Primetime said, if you look good, you play good, man. So some of those guys think you wear chains on the field, I guess. So whatever floats their boat, man. You know, I don't really have no problem with it, so.
Do you view it as a sign of disrespect? Like, if you're going up against a guy, because, as you said, he's obviously trying to show out a little bit. Let's say you're going up a guy like a receiver, much like Michael Crabtree, and they're wearing a chain. Does that look to you like, oh, it's going to be that kind of day, huh?
I really don't know what was going on, honestly. I played against a bunch of guys who wore chains, but I don't know what it was with Crabtree. It just gave me a problem then. So I don't know. It's over with now, man. Me and Crab and I ran into each other a few times. Chopped it up, you know what I'm saying, and put it behind us.
It felt good, though, to yank it, didn't it?
It did. It did. It did. I won't lie. It did. It honestly felt good.
Was he the receiver that you had the biggest problem with on the field? Was there anyone that talked like crap that you had issues with?
It was a few of them. I went back and forth a lot with Pierre Garçon. Went back and forth a lot with Steve Smith. It was a few of them, man. I had some good battles out there.
All right, well, let's talk about the battle you had with Wes Welker, because what we got after that 2013 AFC title game, and it was the one where Welker and you collided, and obviously you got you out of the game. You know, Belichick, he doesn't speak in hyperbole. He came out and said that, in his opinion, that's one of the worst plays he's ever seen, talking about Wes Welker. And, you know, obviously Wes Welker had somewhat of a history with this team, and it was just a strange thing to see. So when you heard him say that, and when that all went down, you know, what happened there on the field that day, and what did you think of the reaction of Bill afterwards?
I definitely applauded the reaction by Bill. You know, standing up for me and saying what we all thought was right at the time. You know, but I watched it since then a couple hundred times. You know, and knowing Wes Welker's history with concussions and stuff, I don't know if he did it on purpose. Like, they're not going to send. Like, they could have put, if they was going to do that on purpose, maybe they could have put Bubba right there. Or they could have put, you know, a different receiver, someone besides Wes, because I don't think you were seeing your guy who, you know, has problem with concussions. I don't think you would send him on a crash dummy mission. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I don't think it was on purpose. At the time, it did look like it was on purpose a lot. But, I started playing for the Broncos. Then it started kind of looking like it wasn't on purpose.
All right, so you guys had another thing that you hashed out. You guys got along.
Did he talk to you? Yeah, did he talk to you about it?
Yeah, we was in the same locker room. You know, I remember I went to the Broncos and Wes was still over there. So, yeah, we played on the same team.
Yeah, and that was something like the first time you get that. Like, I mean, that's you obviously don't forget that because it was such an injury, a bad injury and something you had to go through. Was that one of the first things that you guys did when you came a member of that team?
Definitely. Wes definitely came up and said, "Key, man, you know I didn't do that on purpose." And, you know, we laughed it out. And by that time, I had watched it about 100 times. I had a change of heart.
Okay. Did you notice while you were there Julian Edelman's obsession with Tom Brady?
Everybody obsessed with Tom Brady, so, I mean, it was nothing out the ordinary.
Not like Julian Edelman. I mean, we're talking, did Brady get a haircut and Julian Edelman will get a haircut. Brady makes a logo, Julian Edelman makes
Brady
a logo.
Brady moves to the West Coast, Edelman moves to the West Coast.
Admitted, it was very single white female. It was like borderline obsessive.
I definitely didn't notice, but I probably was doing my own upset stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's probably why I didn't notice what everybody else was doing.
All right, so you're watching the games. You're doing it for NBC. And Stephon Gilmore, who you would have been playing beside if you had decided to play, it looks like he's getting picked on a little bit, which is a lot different from last year when he was Defensive Player of the Year. What are you seeing out of Gilmore?
I think that's the jacket that you wear, man. You be the best DB in the league. And next year, guys just have it out for you. Quarterbacks want to challenge you. They want to throw deep balls at you. They're not going to run from you. It seems like the year you win the MVP or the year you are all-pro at defensive back or something, that's the year that they want to be scared of you and stay away from you. But it's like the moment you win that award, you know, you got the bullseye on your back now. And guys want to test you. So, I mean, I think you're still playing good ball, man. Got an interception. You almost had another one against the Raiders early. He's still following guys, man, and I think he's going to be just fine.
How do you prepare for a guy like Patrick Mahomes? Because week after week, he has been turning what seem like, you know, good secondaries into, you know, just looks like mediocre. I mean, he finds holes that no one else would find. How do you prepare for a guy like that?
Man, it's tough, man. I don't know if you could play zone against him. He picks apart zones so easy. So I think you almost just got to blitz him, man. You got to have that old Bronco recipe, man, and blitz and play man. You know, that's Bill like to do that anyway. So I just say you just blitz them, try to get some pressure on them, and play man. You just got to keep hitting them, keep hitting them, keep putting them on the ground, and keep tight coverage. Make them throw perfect throws, which he always do all the time. So I think that's the only answer for that Chiefs offense, though.
All right, so you mentioned the Broncos. When you were on the Broncos, you played with Brady and you played with Manning. I don't know how much interaction you have with them, but can you kind of describe the differences between the two of them?
They super similar, man. It's the same guy at work every day. You know, first guy there, last guy to leave, like literally. And great leaders, man. Guys come to work every day. And, you know, Peyton might walk around with a couple more jokes. Peyton, he come down to the defense side of the locker room and play around a little bit more. You know, he a jokester. You know anything about Peyton, he's a jokester.
Yeah, he's a jokester. His brother is a gap-tooth idiot. Or a gap-mouth idiot. Did he ever say anything about his brother?
I don't really know Eli. I never met him. Okay. I don't really know Eli like that. But I'll say, man, Peyton and Tom, man, they're almost the same guy walking through that building. besides the jokes, Peyton, he come up with a lot more pranks, a lot more jokes.
Can you give us an example of like a prank that Peyton Manning had done?
Peyton Manning prank. I'm not sure. I can't think of that off the top of my head. It probably take me a minute. You know, I played 12 years, y'all. I've seen thousands of pranks from everybody. So,
is there anyone in particular that you played with that it got like kind of not funny? Like you're like, all right, this is enough. You've crossed the line.
Nah, I was never. You know, I'm lead, so I was never on the other end of too many other pranks. You know, okay. I kind of was the one helping set up the pranks. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, we cut the rookie's hair. We had one of the rookies so mad he had cut his little hair off. And that's regular stuff though. So next show, I'll think of some throughout the week, man. I have some good pranks for y'all next show.
All right.
So did Tom Brady ever play that prank on you where he tried to get you to do the TB12 method? he didn't do that. Okay, because that seemed to be his deal. You might have been a little before his TB12.
Make you more pliable.
You talking about the clinic over there, the TB12 little clinic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to be over there with Alex, man. I used to be over there, man. I used to go. Alex pretty good, man. He actually shook me back a couple of times. I had a quad injury, and I feel like Alex got me back on the field a little bit quicker than I would have got back on the field, you know, so. Shout out to Alex, man.
Did he try to sell you any concussion juice by any chance that he was peddling for a while?
Hey, I had a near concussion one time, and you know who I called?
Who?
Tom Brady. Tom.
Really?
He put me on, man. I called Tom. He gave me a few home remedies to do. He put me on the phone with Alex, and, I played the next game.
What's a home remedy for concussions?
It's like a little game you could play on your phone that, like, you know, that you could tell. Like, I was playing this game on Monday. They kind of told me what to download and stuff. I was playing this game on Monday. I was terrible at it. I was getting, like, 1 out of 12. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play on Sunday because I can't even think right now. But by Thursday, by Friday, I was getting 11 out of 12, 12 out of 12. So it kind of just, you know, it made me think fast, made me remember stuff. And I had to just, like, do brain workouts, and I think it helped.
Well, there you go. All right, so Kansas City, you know, obviously looked very good, but they did struggle a little bit against the Chargers. They're a 7-point dog. This is very rare that the Patriots are a 7-point dog. What do you think about what's going to happen on Sunday?
The Patriots got to play this man coverage, man. You know, Bill's going to play some man coverage. They got to win the matchups, man. I expect Gilmore to probably be on Tyreek. They kind of last week against Waller, they kind of had, you know, DB by committee to guard Waller. They had a little bit of Jason McCourty, a little bit of Dell. Sometimes they doubled him. Sometimes 33 was on him, 31 was on him. So, you know, they kind of did it by committee. And that's probably what they're going to do against Kelsey, too, man. Throw a little bit of everybody at him. Don't let him get used to one guy guarding him. Double him sometimes and just try to hit Mahomes, man. So, expect it to be good. The Patriots running the heck out the ball. So I think they'll be able to run the ball good. I think they can surprise some people, man, and give them their first L.
All right. Well, Aqib Talib, we look forward to talking to you every Wednesday. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Appreciate it, guys. I'll see y'all next week.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelpline. MA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no! It's the Bagel Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion. Okay.
Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest. Oh!
98.5, the Sports Hub. That's right. They're degenerates, and they are the Bankroll Boys, and they are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB. Very important to use code SPORTSHUB. I have. During sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Who are the DraftKings? They're a great site. Who are the Bankroll Boys? That is a man named Joe Murray. He's over there on the Zoom. We have in studio Dan Lifshatz. And conversation real quick, Rich. Okay. Well, no, maybe not quick. I'll take my time. I'll stretch it out. No, there was a conversation between John and Dan during the replay there about Russian ping pong.
Oh yeah, we were just discussing things that I actually know, and I was telling him one of the things I do not know was Russian ping pong.
But but you have a guy.
Yes. Yes.
Now you have a guy who handicaps Russian ping pong.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys who do like have little specialties and everything, man. Like there's guys who I know who like literally just stick to like, you know, women's softball and like you know, rare betting option that you can find where if you can get money down in a market, then you know they'll absolutely crush the market because you know they're one of the sharper guys in the market and the limits are so small. So yeah, there are guys who do the most random crap you've ever you know assumed and everything, and they bet it very, very well. So you can find a few guys here and there who you know what they're talking about, and you know Ukrainian and Russian ping pong. Then yeah, you do very well.
Okay, so along those lines, really quick, because this what you're saying leads right into what I was about to ask, and that is that I got an email we all did from Joe Murray this morning. He sends us the updates, and he mentioned the curse of Dale Arnold is real. Yes. And I was thinking about it, what is he talking about? Because that's the Bruins curse. You know, ever since he's, you know, taken over Catherine Tapp and the Bruins can't win, despite how great their teams could be. But it's a different curse now. And Fred, while you were gone, I bet on a degenerate special. I asked him what it was. And Dan gave me a Russian ping pong one. And I won on the air, like an hour later.
It was me, but yes.
It was Joe.
Oh, it was Joe. Sorry. Credit where credit
Rich.
Is due. It was the other guy.
The other guy.
That's right.
Well, I'm the one who took the heat.
So what happened is that, and I did not hear this, but I guess Dale Arnold went on the air and started ripping on Joe Murray, saying that they were ripping them off for talking about betting.
In your face.
Oh, Joe came in the next morning. His hair was on fire.
In your face.
If he had hair, it would have been
on
fire.
Listen, you sit down and cat's out of the bag. I made a pledge of honesty due to my recent sobriety. Very virgin in my sobriety. But I will say this. I did send an email out, and I said, you get Dale Arnold. You sit and study the man. Whatever they're doing, we're going to do it better.
The path to success.
I know when he's on the radio. I know when that show's on. I honestly, if you had a gun to my head, I would not be able to tell you in certainty when that show's on because I know it's moved. And I like Rich Keefe. I would call Rich Keefe a good acquaintance. I think he's got talent. I think they should have their head examined, having him on with a geriatric man. Think that maybe you could try to do something else. But nonetheless, I said, you figure out what they're doing because they're doing something.
Joe Murray came in, as John was saying. I mean, he was apoplectic. He went insane.
Now, I have to imagine that Dale Arnold really does not think that the show in any way, shape, or form
invented talking about betting.
No, but is stealing their bits. I would have, or their talking points.
Listen, Rich asked me, hey, I need a degenerate bet. Dan wasn't there that day. And I said, all right, let's try this guy. That was it. That's literally what happened.
Well, it still sounds fishy to me. So who was on the show that day?
Rich, myself, and John.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when was this stealing taking place? Who was on the show?
I guess it was later on that afternoon. Once again, this is all from Joe telling me.
But were you on the show, Rich, that Dale said that you guys were doing stuff that stole from him?
Yeah, because he gave us like a Russian
I thought that what it might have been was Dale thought that since John was in the first chair, John Wallach was in the first chair.
That could be it.
That John was so desperate because of his lack of talent. Right. That, no, I'm being serious. This is Dale thinking.
Yes.
I have no problem, John. Obviously, you know, with you hosting the show. Yes. I have no problem with that.
Anyways, but
hang on. No, don't say anyways. Okay. What are you, Rich? No, I'm kidding. I know that you guys had a little tiff. No, I'm joking. I'm joking around. All right, so listen. So what I heard happen is that Dale... No, I'm just kidding. So Dale said that you guys, as a show... had with my name on it, so I'm as guilty as anyone, that you guys had listened to the Dale Arnold show and had decided that you liked what they were discussing, and then you guys went nuts.
That was brought to my attention. Yes, I don't know anything about what they do.
Okay, but
did he go on a rant or what?
Yeah, happened? He was kind of like, oh, those guys did, you're the Russian, you know, ping pong king or whatever. I don't know. It was brought to my attention. And then, you know, there was lots of insults.
Well, now it's a full on radio war.
But what's happened now is, I don't know, we've had kind of a cold streak here.
Ever since Dale Arnold called out the Bankroll Boys. Oof. All of a sudden, they're a little bit of a cold streak, right? Like 3 weeks?
I got very mad on air.
Yeah, and I have sucked since that point.
I have not been good, and I'll be the first one to own it.
So here's what we have to do to bring the universe back in full circle, to get the bad vibe. Now John Wallach, for the next 60 seconds, will say only nice things about Dale Arnold.
That's fine. That's fine. He's fabulous. He's a great family
man.
You
have to be honest.
He's a great family man. He does a lot for charity. No one raises more money at least once a year for charity than Dale. He's been a great guy in that regard. How much time do I have left?
45 more seconds.
How much time do I have left? Does silence count? I can't wipe the mojo off completely, guys. That's all I got. You guys are gonna have to get out of this tailspin on your own.
So wait, because we never really explored. He was that big a prick.
He was not as nice as he could have been. Yes.
Because Rich,
that's correct.
Was Barnes that big a prick? Rich.
What? Yeah, what?
Was Barnes that big? Because I'm trying to think of people that we worked with that were pricks.
Listen, I got along with Barnes. And even though I understood that he, you know, did some things that would piss off a lot of people. But for some reason, I'm tough to rattle.
All right. Yeah. So, because I'm trying to think of anyone that I worked for that was a huge prick. And I can't. Am I missing somebody?
So, I mean, I heard that the environment over there was just bad for, you know, for years. Like,
but
I mean,
what did he do?
Stuff and
like, what pressure is he under? Because there was no one under more pressure than us. Mm-hmm. I might be the biggest prick anyone worked for.
Not true, Fred. I don't believe that. No,
that has to be true to a lot of people. But I've never. So what did he do? Yeah, I am the biggest prick to people.
It was more along the lines of not feeling welcome on the program, that kind of thing.
I was under, in fairness, I was under an intense amount of pressure. Please. But was he worse than me?
Well, yes.
Okay.
It sounds like you didn't really have a hard time answering that question.
Yeah. I don't know how this turned into a requiem on Dale.
How did it start? Rich brought it up.
Oh, it's a good point.
Thanks, Rich. Interesting to me.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, okay. This whole thing's wild. Just the fact that, first of all, that he would call out a show for ripping them off talking about betting as if we invented that.
I mean, I appreciate him listening to the show on
That's
the way
a good point.
It is.
That's right, and he's listening right now. Hi, Dale. How are you?
Yeah, well, listen, I've met Dale a couple times, and he was fine. I will say he was fine.
As I said, he's never been anything but nice to me, but when you cross my man Wall Game over here, you've made an enemy. I'm on Team Wallach. I'm a Wallach hawk the entire way.
Appreciate it.
Well, now I have to come to grips with that. I was a prick. I was a big prick to Nick. I know I screamed and screamed at Dan one time,
But Dan, how long was I a prick for? I know.
God, that's fine. Yeah. 12 years, Fred? Come on.
The Bill Simmons thing, I completely flipped out.
We both. Sure. Yes.
I never would do that again because nothing's that important.
That was dumb.
That was dumb. And yeah. I look back and it was dumb, but we were under an insane amount of pressure.
Sure.
And I know I was a dick to Mike because he has come out and said such.
Bird is on line one.
Oh, Bird deserved it. Bird deserved it.
Sorry. That was about calling you and waking you
Adolfo's
up.
Adolfo's in the lobby. Hey, hold on. There's a traffic jam out in the parking lot.
I'm not talking about Adolfo. Adolfo does not think I'm a dick. I will tell you that. I know for a fact he does not.
He probably thinks I do. I've yelled at him.
You have a family relationship with him. Like, you're family with him. But, like, here's the thing with Bird is that I asked Nick during a replay. I said, would you mind going out and getting me some Diet Cokes and some smokes? And he said, yeah, I'll do it. And I gave him money. And, like, if he would have said no, I would have been like, whatever. But, like, he went and did it. Like, you know, I wouldn't have gotten mad at him if he didn't do it now. But, like, I didn't ask Bird to do anything that Bird shouldn't have been doing. Like, if I asked him to call me on the way in, I still can't for the life of me figure out why that was, like, above him. I mean, he was an hourly employee on the show. It was just, hey, if on the way in, would you mind giving me a call? I don't think that's prima donna behavior. I still don't. Even with all the self-reflection and therapy I have to go through and all the meditating and time alone, I still honestly can't figure out why that was above him to call me in the morning. I mean, he was getting paid. I don't know why that was above his payroll, but okay.
I have an answer for that.
What?
Well, because he technically didn't start until after the show started.
Okay, fine.
So, therefore,
then, you know what? How much do you deserve for the time this... How long does it take to dial a number?
Yeah. And all of us...
Who are you asking?
No. Yeah. Okay, for him. But to go to your contacts... let's do this. How much should I have paid him a morning to call me? A dollar?
No, you shouldn't have paid him anything.
I mean, I'd pay him a dollar to call me.
That's right. Because, Dan, none of us work at all before 6 o'clock in the morning.
Salaried. I mean, he was an hourly employee.
I know, but the point is, all of us work before 6 o'clock.
I don't know. Maybe he should have been paid more to, you know, do play-by-play. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We've done this bit before, though. Do you hate Fred Toucher? And many people didn't.
I don't even think this is that. I think it's just is there anybody that any of us have worked with or that was worse than the way that John feels about Dale Arnold?
Because out of everyone on the show, I would have been the prick.
Behind the scenes,
I was a dick to Nick.
Well, I mean.
But that was also another time we were drunk all the time. All right. For real at BCN. All right. Let's go back to the bankroll, boys. So the curse of Dale is real. We're trying to break that. I think that the mojo's
out of the
room.
I think we have to break.
We will. Okay, but the mojo's out of the room because I think that we've exercised it. And until you express it verbally, it can stick.
Sure.
So we'll be back with the bankroll, boys. Hopefully we will not steal anything from Dale. Wink. But we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is the Bankroll Boys. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. And now that the Daryl Arnold curse is hopefully cleared from the room, we can get into it. This Patriots spread has got a lot of people that don't generally bet, who might not even bet on the game, talking about it because it's an odd, you know, fairly large spread for the Patriots. They're 7-point dogs on the road at the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs have fans, but it's not the experience that is usually the case in Kansas City. But the Patriots, what's their trends when it comes to being big dogs?
I got a couple here for you just off the bat. I think Rich mentioned a couple this morning, but it's only the third time the Patriots have been 7-point underdogs. Overall, the Patriots have been an underdog 7 or more points just 11 times, including the playoffs. They're 9-2 against the spread in those spots.
Okay, and I would imagine a couple of those were without Tom Brady.
Yeah, the last one was 2016 when Brady was suspended. They were 9-point dogs to the Cardinals on opening night. They actually, I believe, won, right, on a field goal at the end. And then they lost to the Texans as a dog in the playoffs. The end of the year, week 17. They lost by 7.
So what do you think? Like, are you staying away from this game, or is this one that you see an opportunity?
So just quick, I'm sure Dan, you know, have his thought, but I think the Patriots have had success against the Chiefs overall. It's about time of possession and keeping Mahomes off the field. In the regular season in 2018, the Patriots rushed for 173 yards and 3 touchdowns. In the AFC Championship game, they rushed for 176 yards and had 4 touchdowns. In last year's game, they had 94 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. There was that N'Keal Harry play that got reversed, if you remember, and then they missed a field goal. So, like, you know, the time of possession was 36, 43, and 25 in those three games. You have to keep Mahomes off the field, and you have to run the football well. While we know that they can run the football well, can the defense play well when Mahomes is on the field? I think that's going to be the biggest question.
Yeah. Fred and I were talking about this just the other day, and it was like, you know, you can try your best to keep Mahomes off the field, and you could kill it for, you know, 7 to a 7-minute drive, but Mahomes will come out there, and in 2 minutes, he can score. I mean, that guy is so damn fast bringing his team down the field that it's almost like that doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you take a look at what the Pats did, you know, as Joe said it, like in the AFC Championship game, where they played the ball control, power run it down your throat. We're going to give you a 12-minute drive here, an 8-minute drive here, you know, in the first half. And I think, did they shut Mahomes out in the first half of that game?
That was 2 seasons ago, though.
Right, but again, with Cam Newton, aren't you able to do that more effectively? I mean, you're bringing back Damien Harris from the IR, it sounds like. So you're going to have, like, a legitimate stable of running backs. James White's back at practice. My guess is they're going to try and play the power running ball control type game. And I think that you look at the line, it opened at 7.5 and it's down to 7. And it's certainly not public money that's coming in on the Patriots. I mean, you know, I assume the whole world is probably going to end up being on Kansas City, you know, by Sunday. So that's going to be sharp.
Recency bias is real. I think recency bias is real. People are looking at this Chiefs team like, oh, and they were outstanding. And how many times are they going to blitz Mahomes and realize that it doesn't work?
Yeah, right.
I don't think the Patriots will do that this week. They're going to go 7 defensive backs. The only problem is, who are you going to shut down? Like, who are you going to try to take away? I try to take away Kelce, but I think the way Hardman's playing right now, when are you going to go one-on-one with Jonathan Jones and Tyreek Hill? I don't love that matchup. You have to stop Elair right off the bat and then see where it goes. But I stopped Kelce, but they have a ton of options, guys. It's going to be a really tough week.
So it sounds like you guys like the Patriots.
I mean, again, I go back to that Baltimore game. Baltimore stopped Kansas City. They were, I believe they were down or tied or what. They're about to get back in the game, and they run 3 straight pass plays and give the ball right back to Kansas City. And I felt like that completely turned the entire tide of that game. I don't think Bill is going to be dumb enough to go out there and say, all right, Cam, let's run 3 straight pass plays and give it right back to them. Like, yeah. I just think that was bad coaching by Harbaugh in that spot. And I think that, you know, the Patriots' advantage is their coaching. So, no, I expect the Patriots to be in this game. I'm not sure they're going to win, but they're going to be competitive in this game, absolutely.
I think it will be a competitive game, but just through 3 games, the Patriots are 1st in rushing, 5th in rushing average, and 2nd in first downs in first. So I think, like, that helps them. They're 1st in rushing first downs this year as well. They need to keep him off the field. The only thing that concerns me, guys, is there'll be fans in the stands, And from what I gather, teams that have fans in the stands have won games. I know it won't be your typical Arrowhead Stadium, but that's just another thing to throw in there.
It sounded loud on TV, by the way, that first Chiefs game of the season. Like, that sounded surprisingly loud for just having that amount of fans. So maybe it makes a difference.
All right, so wait. So you have the odds to win the World Series. These are obviously not current, or because teams have been eliminated, right?
Yeah, guys, to me, it's Dodgers or nothing, right? I mean, I don't know how you feel, Dan.
Can I bet a futures with you guys? Because if the Cardinals are plus 3,500, I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to put $100 on the Cardinals. Why not?
All right, done.
All right, I can get them at plus 3,500.
Sure. They're not going to win.
I mean, it's worth a shot. I mean, that's the value pick, right? There's no bigger value than that, correct?
At the moment, yes. Yep.
All right, $100 on the Cardinals plus 3,500. Why not? I'm going to be paying attention to the games anyway. They're up a game in that San Diego series. They're going to beat San Diego. So they got Wainwright tonight.
Flaherty in game three, if necessary, right?
Right, and the San Diego's missing their two best starters. So, yeah, I'll take that. A Wainwright versus Zach Davies matchup today? Yeah, I'll take that.
What do you got for Thursday Night Football tonight? Anything we should be looking at?
You might have just heard the player's card. Fred's going to love this, and it doesn't make sense. If you're doing bankroll management, I suggest staying off this game. I love the Jets. I like the Jets tonight.
I don't like that. I like the Jets, too, because I want them to lose.
What are they favored by? What's the Broncos favored by, rather?
It's a pick'em. It's a straight pick'em right now.
Ooh.
Greg Williams can bring pressure. And I think Brett Rippon's going to see that. If you remember Darnold, when he was a rookie, you saw Greg Williams. He was all flustered. I think the same thing will happen tonight. Problem with the Jets right now is they have no wide receivers. Look at Jamison Crowder back tonight. He's averaging 5.9 points and yards an attempt right now. The Jets have to win tonight, or Gase is getting canned, in my opinion. I think this will be the victory parade for the Jets tonight. That's who I like.
I hope they win so they do keep Gase, because you were saying that they would end up firing him if they ended up losing this week. You know what? They need to be just good enough to not fire him.
I don't know, Dan. You got anything on the
and they won't get. And you know they'll win three games and not get effing
hey, Trevor Lawrence.
They finished 6-2 last year. Like, I know they look terrible, but they could. Who knows?
No. I don't think their offense is putrid right now. And honestly, I think their best offensive player really has been like Chris Herndon, who's like gotten legitimate targets and everything. Listen, they have to win tonight. They're facing a rookie quarterback at home. It opened the Jets opened as a 3-point dog and actually are now a 2-point favorite in most books now. 1.5 to 2-point favorite. The line has moved, obviously, since Rippon was named the starter. So they have to win tonight.
Well, Chris Herndon has not been targeted at all, and he's terrible. So
he had like 5 or 6 catches like a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know about that.
By the way, speaking of
odds, I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's true. Go ahead.
Speaking of odds with the Jets, I saw actually Joe Murray tweet this yesterday. BetOnline has the odds for the next quarterback to get benched, and Sam Darnold's in the lead with plus 325.
Well, it's interesting because I've never heard of their backup, and it's not Joe Flacco right now. And if they start playing Flacco, that's a ridiculous bet. But
Morgan's actually decent. I think he'd be pretty. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, I don't know who he is, so good. All right, gentlemen, there you go. The Bankroll Boys, listen to him Saturday morning.
I need a degenerate special. Yell it. I need something.
All right, hold on. I have to get it up. It's Ulsan Hyundai versus Sangju Sangmu over 2.75.
All right. I lost 400 for the first time in a while. You guys were hitting on the degenerate. I lost last week. It's good. Yep, the batting average is excellent.
Wow, we're back down to 400 bucks.
All right. Let's put it all on the line on that one. Let's do it.
All right.
I got to get back.
Get him back. All right. There you go. Listen to him Saturday morning, 7 to 9. There you have it. The Bankroll Boys. We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.